It was fun talking with Steve about his book and about all of the doctors that are in his book. And, you know, on this program, many, many, many physicians have given of their time to come on and give advice and comment on a variety of issues. And tell you what, Dr. Dick Niles is back with us again today, and it's really always a pleasure to have him stop by. He's actually with us by phone today. He practices dermatology in Oconomowoc and Watertown, and with us today to talk about dermatology and skin cancer prevention, and certainly we're inviting your questions and comments as we move along today. If you're in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890. Anywhere else, it's toll-free at 1-800-642-1234. And also, you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Dr. Dick Niles, welcome back. Thanks for being with us today.
Good to be here, Larry. Thanks for inviting me. Looking forward to some questions from all the interesting people out there.
I'll tell you what, it's great to have you here. When it comes to your skin,
yeah,
what protections should you take for sun protection to avoid skin cancer?
Well, I think there are three important things, and the least important is the sunscreen. The most important is basically the time of day. So if you're now wintertime, currently we don't really have to worry about the sun. It's too low in the sky to do much of anything.
Yeah.
But in the summertime, try, if you're going to be doing something outside, maybe you can do that in the evening or the morning rather than at noon. And especially true if you go on a winter vacation and you want to go down to Puerto Vallarta or someplace like that and you're in the sun, well, maybe make it a morning walk on the beach and an evening walk on the beach and then under the shade at lunch, and that would be a good idea. That's the most important thing. The second thing is then putting on some clothing so you're not exposing all of your skin to the sun at that high time during the day. And then the sunscreen, maybe a 15 or maybe a 30 if you start out on the beach down in Mexico. A 30 for the week might be a good, because that will help even that little bit of sun that you might get in the afternoon and the evening. And then after a few days, you'll start to see a little tan come, and that's not so bad. That's not the most terrible thing in the world, but try not to burn.
Yep, try not to burn. Okay. Well, already callers are on lining up here to talk with you. Again, the number is 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. And Shirley in Prentice is on board here, so let's go to Shirley. Hi, Shirley.
Hello, Larry. My question is, my problem is an itchy scalp. What does one do when you have tried almost every shampoo there is recommended by a local doctor? And then what's the final step?
Shirley, let me ask a couple of questions. How often do you shampoo?
Not terribly often. I'm older, and I think when you get older, your hair doesn't get oilier. So it... but when I'm using this medicated stuff, I've been doing it every day, switching different things, and even using some things such as white vinegar and alcohol, and trying everything to stop that itching.
Do you have much scaliness in your scalp?
No, I did not at first, but now I don't know whether it's all this soap or what, but there's seems to be a little bit of dandruff, but not very much. No, I feel itchy bumps, and then sometimes it feels like a little tiny scab on top of them.
Okay. Well, there is no such thing as dry scalp. Everything is either psoriasis or dandruff, and maybe dandruff is just a little bit of psoriasis, but that's how I look at it. And the more often you shampoo with one of the dandruff shampoos, generally the better off you are. And if there still is a lot of scaliness, then the next step would be to use a probably prescription-based cortisone, either in a liquid alcohol water form, or there is one in a peanut oil form that can be very soothing. And that kind of thing over the winter time when the psoriasis is generally worse, can be pretty effective. Some people will need oral antihistamines to help cut down on that itching, so the less you scratch, the less the psoriasis will give you trouble. So I guess the next step for you would be to add some sort of cortisone on the surface and see how you do.
Yeah.
Something called beta something.
Betamethasone.
Yeah, I've used that and refilled it, and that didn't seem to help. Maybe I didn't use it often enough. I try to do mm-hmm. it right, but
yeah, you might try the peanut oil based one called Dermasmooth, and that might be a little more soothing for your scalp.
Dermasmooth, try that one. Okay, thank you, Shirley. Good luck, David and Phillips. It's your turn now. Hi, David.
Hello.
Morning.
What can we do for
morning.
You? Yeah, what can we do for you?
Well, I tell you what, I have a friend who has a kidney transplant, and he's had this kidney for going on about 22 years now. And I understand that some of the drugs that he takes suppresses the immune system. Mm-hmm. And he's, in the last couple of years, developed a type of skin cancer called squamish.
Yes.
Okay, and I'm just wondering, he goes to a dermatologist up here and has cancerous, I don't know what, sores, I guess you'd call them. They're small, but cut off probably every, like, 3 months or so. He's usually got one or two every couple of months. And I'm just wondering how aggressive this type of cancer is. He switched his anti-rejection drug last year to one called Celcept, which I guess is not supposed to be quite so immune-suppressive. But in any case, how aggressive is this type of skin cancer, and how much do I need to worry about this?
Let me address that. This is a relatively common problem with more and more people having transplants. It appears that most of these are on sun-exposed areas, and so we think the sun makes a difference, sun from maybe when you were 20 years old, so maybe not last year's sun exposure, but over the years. And secondly, one can actually find wart virus in many of these mild skin cancers. People tend to get many of them. They tend not to be very aggressive. Maybe they're just a dramatic coming together of wart virus, sun, and immunosuppression to cause these to come up. They can generally be treated with liquid nitrogen unless they're very thick. Then one might have to scrape them off or cut them out. But there's also another drug, Accutane, the drug that we use for terrible teenage acne, and its sister drug that can be very helpful. I had one of a patient like this who would get a skin cancer a month. Now, since she takes the Accutane in a medium dose and has a little bit of dry skin as her only side effect, she gets a couple of those a year. So there are other drugs. The Accutane doesn't change the immune system, so it's not as though we're going to imperil his kidney, but that would be an addition that one might make and be very helpful.
Huh? Okay, that's also an anti-rejection drug, this Accutane?
No, it's an anti-acne drug.
Oh, I see.
It's a vitamin A derivative drug that just encourages skin to be more normal.
Okay, and I'll bring that up to him then. He does have warts periodically come up on him as well, so that's evidently part of this whole thing?
Yep. Part of the whole thing.
All right. So then it's not a very aggressive type of cancer, and as long as he keeps on top of it, it should be okay.
I think that's right. I think if you keep treating them when they're very early and try to take them off relatively quickly, things should be okay.
All right. Thanks for calling,
sure.
David.
Take care, David.
Yeah, appreciate it. Lisa in Two Rivers, your turn. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a mole, very tiny mole that I had biopsy done on, and they found cancerous cells, and they then, you know, removed the mole or the area completely. But it was on a spot where there was a lot of just rubbing from my clothing, and I developed a really big scar. And it's just like a thick pad of scar tissue.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if there's any concern over that, particularly since it was in the area where this mole was that had some precancerous cells. Or, you know, it's irritating to me, but I'd live with it unless there was some reason to remove it.
Well, I wouldn't remove the scar because that may just lead to a bigger scar. But those scars or keloids can be injected with a little bit of cortisone, and that usually makes them a lot less sensitive. Some of these scars are really touchy, and they feel funny, like that tag on the back of your T-shirt rubs on your neck, and you feel goofy with it. You can have that kind of sensation too. But with an injection of cortisone into that scar, usually it would shrink down by half, and then maybe in another month have another injection and shrink down pretty much all the way.
Ooh, great.
All right. Thanks very much for calling, Lisa. Appreciate your call. And Connie in Portage, it is your turn. Hi, Connie.
Hi. I wanted to tell you what I did for the lady that called in about the itchy scalp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have psoriasis, a very light case of it. And ever since a child, my head would itch. Well, finally, I used Tea Tree by Paul Mitchell. And I used all of the other things, and it never helped. But I shampoo my hair every 3 or 4 days with Tea Tree, and that has kept it for probably 15 years completely under control, no itching.
Well, that's great that it works. If you probably would do the study on Tea Tree compared with the other shampoos, it probably wouldn't work quite as well. But for you, it works well. I can't tell you how many hundreds of patients have said that Tea Tree doesn't work for them. But we have to look around, and if you find something that works, certainly there's no problem with side effects from Tea Tree shampoo.
It's them, so it's worth a try, and it's not going to hurt if you harm you.
If you find something, that's great.
Yeah, Tom from Stoddard also had another recommendation. He uses more olive oil in his diet, and he feels that that has helped relieve itching and drying issues for him.
Again, olive oil has some fabulous things to say about it for heart disease and other things. No one has ever been able to translate that to increased oil in the skin. So that's I'm glad he's doing great, but I don't think it's the olive oil.
All right. Our guest today, Dr. Dick Niles, practicing dermatologist in Oconomowoc and Watertown. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking dermatology and skin cancer prevention now with our guest, Dr. Dick Niles, practicing dermatologist in Oconomowoc and Watertown. He's been a regular on our show for a long time. Always happy to have him with us. Larry Mueller here. Certainly you can join in at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call. And Dr. Niles, we have a call from Lisa in Madison who's been waiting a while. So let's just go to Lisa. Lisa, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I have a severe case of eczema that I've been to specialists and all kinds of doctors and done all kinds of natural stuff, and I've never been able to get it under control. I have my neck and my face and my arm just flare up. My skin gets really hot and red and blotchy and itchy, and I've actually been hospitalized twice for secondary infections because I sometimes can't avoid scratching, even though I know I'm supposed to. And I'm just wondering if there's any new information out there or anything you can suggest.
I'm not sure that there are many new things for you, but I'm always trying to make things really simple. And we know that eczema, which is a genetic problem where your skin is a poor barrier, so it tends to lose water pretty easily and be dry in the background, that this kind of eczema can be taken care of by lubricating your skin, but we want to use simple things. We don't want to use complicated creams that have many ingredients in them. Maybe simple Vaseline and water might be something. Or a 2.5% hydrocortisone ointment can sometimes be awfully helpful. We know that eczema is not only a rash that itches, but it's an itch that rashes. So the less you scratch, better off you'll be. But that's where oral antihistamines can come in, because those antihistamines can certainly make it so you're comfortable and you're not scratching so much.
Right, and I do take antihistamines daily. And
do they help?
Not really.
Well, then you need a different one.
And a lot of the creams that, most of the creams that they, well, actually all the creams that they prescribe, they work as a prevention, but if I get a flare-up, I can't put anything on my skin. Anything I put on just burns and itches. And
well, you probably aren't using ointments, and ointments can be a lot more effective than creams. A Vaseline-based thing might work out a lot better for you than a cream, because creams have 20 ingredients, and ointments don't have that many.
Oh, okay.
So I would say a cortisone ointment, a prescription one, an oral antihistamine. I would always talk to you about using mild soaps like Dove. Maybe using some baby oil afterwards. And then if you have a flare-up, sometimes you need to take internal cortisone for a short time or have a shot of cortisone. And then tanning can be sometimes very helpful because it makes your skin a little bit less reactive.
Tanning, you said?
Yes.
Tanning.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That would be if you have it all over your body. That might be a little bit better.
Okay. I have another quick question. I know you have other callers, but I've been using pure coconut oil lately because a friend suggested it. It seems to be helping, but I'm wondering if you know whether that's a good idea.
Well, if it's not irritating your skin and it's helping a little bit, there's no problem with it at all.
Okay, great.
All right.
All right, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Lisa, for calling. Margaret in Wisconsin Dells is next. Margaret, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am recently diagnosed with some psoriasis on my head and feet. It's not real serious. And the doctor has put me on sort of this alternating, you know, steroid and then this other cream. But the flare-ups have gone away. Do I really need to keep taking this stuff? I'm not real crazy about taking medicine, and I particularly don't like using steroids.
Well, if the problem is calmed down, then you should be able to use both of the things less often. There's no reason to put it on when you're good. If you are if you're using a lubricant in the background, that's great. And then just cut back. So instead of using something every other day, sort of skip a couple of days here and there, and you should be able to maintain it with less often, with fewer applications.
Yeah.
Oh, I appreciate that. And because the doctor said come back in 3 months, and I don't want to just keep using it every day for 3 months need it.
No.
The other question I have is I had a recent skin cancer. Could that in any way be related?
Probably not. It appears that psoriasis patients have fewer skin cancers than others, even though they know that being out in the sun is pretty helpful. So there's nothing protective about how fast your skin turns over. So anybody can have a skin cancer with enough sun, and that's probably the reason.
Huh. Interesting.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Margaret. Greg in Oconomowoc, your turn. Hi, Greg.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Larry. We have friends who shut off their water softener because they thought it left a film on their skin after showering and it wasn't getting them clean enough. Is there any advantage, hard water over soft water, in skin treatment and cleanliness?
No, hard water is very harsh. It'll make your skin dry. The softener has a little bit of salt in it, and that's very helpful for dry skin. You may not feel as though you've gotten clean, but you have. All the soap is off. That sort of sensation is a normal sensation with people going back and forth from soft water to hard water. When our softener's on the fritz, I can tell right away by the slight odor and by how it feels. And soft water should always be helpful. And in this area, around Oconomowoc, the water is hard, 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 and you need that softener or else you get itchy, itchy, and itchy.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Sue Ann in Madison, your turn now. Hi, Sue Ann.
Hi, thanks for your time.
Sure.
I am wondering about permanent makeup as far as, I don't know if they call it tattooing or if it's just referred to as permanent makeup, what you recommend for that, if there are any side effects as far as taking it off or removing it. Obviously, you can't take it off by washing it, but removing it, say your hair color changes or whatever. What I'm specifically interested in, though, is I've been blessed with, like, two eyebrows, like literally two hairs, so I'm constantly having to apply eyebrows so that I look halfway normal. Do you have any recommendations for that?
Sure. The permanent cosmetics and what they are basically tattoos of different colors in different parts of your skin. Eyebrows would be one area. Lips with some red color put in can be another area. Eyeliner kind of areas, too, where you have a little bit of color put in that eye, that edge of the eye. Those are commonly used things, and they're really quite good, especially if you're not good at putting on your eye makeup, or as some women get older, they will be a little bit less able to see where they're putting on their eye makeup. The permanent tattoos that you have aren't really that permanent. They may last for 4 or 5 years, and they fade a little bit over that length of time. So as your hair color might change, they're not absolutely permanent, and you could have a little bit different color and a little bit touch-up of that done once in a while. But that's an okay thing to do.
Okay. Do you recommend going to a dermatologist for that, or do they do it? I've seen only ads for, it looks like she could probably be doing it out of her basement or something, and I'm very leery, of course, of going to somewhere like that.
Yeah.
Do you recommend certification or?
Well, there are people that do this specifically for a living, and I know of one person in Delafield that does it, and she's quite good. I don't think many dermatologists are going to be doing this themselves. They may have somebody in their office that does it. But I would look around and ask for credentials and qualifications and references.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Sue Ann. Ryan in Milwaukee. We'll turn to you now. Hi, Ryan.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a question It doesn't appear to be a standard acne on the face. When the you'll get the blemish, but if it's exposed, it never heals until it appears like there's a root or a cyst in there or something. And if I wash my face to clean it off, it'll take the surface of the skin off, and then it will like create a scab to heal, but it'll never heal until whatever's under the skin infecting it is gone.
Oh. Okay, what is that, Dr. Niles?
Well, it may be that that there is a deeper down part of that pimple. Sometimes pimples or small cysts take a month or two to heal. If you're also trying to pick off the scab or do something to that little guy, you may make him last a little bit longer, too. So if you could put on a small Band-Aid with some antibiotic ointment, maybe overnight or maybe during the day, and do that for a week, then it's likely that it will heal up. But it probably represents just a standard acne pimple that's a little bit deeper. Prevention is probably best with antibiotics, either orally or on the surface, and some other cream with benzoyl peroxide or the prescription like Retin-A might be helpful too. But I'd cover it up and try not to get after it for a week and see what happens.
Okay.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye. Thanks. Thanks for calling. Connie in Dubuque, your turn now. Hi, Connie. Connie?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, go ahead.
My daughter had like chicken skin.
Oh, we're losing you. But I think what she's saying, Dr. Niles,
yeah,
is her daughter has skin problems like chicken skin, they call it.
I'm not sure. There are a number of possibilities here, and one of them might be something called keratosis pilaris, which is a bumpy thing on the back of the arms and sometimes on the thighs. And that's a sort of a red, scaly, and bumpy thing. Each one of the hair follicles has a little dry skin clog in it. And that's where one would use lubricants on the surface and gentle soaps to wash with, like the Dove soap, and that would make some progress. But the baby oil on the wet skin, my old trick after a shower, would be a good thing there.
Okay. Sorry, we couldn't get you in there, Connie, a little better with your phone. Eileen in Union Grove, it's your turn. Hi, Eileen.
Well, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Dr. Niles, I have a comment for Lisa, who called in with the terrible eczema problem. I was plagued with eczema for years, went to dermatologists, got the creams, the prescriptions, and nothing seemed to help. Wore my aunt's discarded white gloves, doing dishes and whatnot. When one of my students in my class said, oh, you can buy some of my mother's Mary Kay Extra Emollient Night Cream. It works for eczema. Try it. And she brought me a sample, and I tried it. And ever since then, I have not had any problems with eczema, although a dermatologist told me some people get ulcers when they get worried or whatever. You get eczema. Lucky you. Well, whenever I feel a little outbreak on my hand, if I haven't been using this in the summer or whatnot, I put it on, and it just magically does not reappear. So it's worth a try.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Niles, you had any experience with that?
Another testimonial from lubricating the skin, and it may not matter which heavy-duty lubricant it is. They all may work well. And, you know, for all I know, all these cosmetic creams are made in the same place in South Carolina and put in different packages, for all we know. But if that kind of thing works, that's great. Some people might have trouble with one of the ingredients in one of that cream, in that cream, and they may not do well. So try it, and if it works well for you, that's fine on the skin.
All right. Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much. Kathy in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. My question is really directed at my husband, who had a suspicious-looking area removed on his back, and he was told to use polysporin, which is a bacitracin zinc polymyxin sulfate, along with a Band-Aid to diminish the scarring that remains. Very hard to keep a Band-Aid where there's any hair growth, obviously, and how important is this suggestion by the doctor, and what if he doesn't use it?
The antibiotic ointment is mainly to help prevent infection and help the wound heal fastest. Wounds heal fastest with an ointment and a Band-Aid, in general, that would heal faster than with just an open scab. The scarring probably doesn't matter much one way or the other. So once it's healed up, you shouldn't have to use anything anymore.
It already appears dry, although it's quite a divot. It's almost quarter-sized.
Yeah.
But if you're suggesting that the scarring isn't going to be affected very much, it's not weeping or anything, so he's inclined not to continue using it.
It will take longer to heal if it hasn't healed yet without the Band-Aid and the ointment.
I see.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Kathy. And Lana in Stone Lake, I believe, is next. Lana, hello.
Hello there.
What can we do for you?
Well, I was born with a mole on the side of my face, about the size of a dime, and it's right on my hairline, actually, on my jawline there.
Mm-hmm.
And as I get older, it's starting to really get kind of hairy, so I'm constantly cutting it. I haven't plucked it because it is kind of a tender mole, so I just cut the hairs. Is there something I can do? I know there's electrolysis, but I always heard that a mole, if it has hair growing out of it, it's a good thing. So
yeah, it's not a problem. It has two separate kinds of skin things growing. It has pigmented cells and it has hair, and that helps make it a normal mole that's not really dangerous. About the only thing that you could do, because those hair follicles go quite deep, is if you don't like the mole and you don't like the hair, you could have the whole thing cut out and stitches put in. That would be the only real way to take care of it. If you just wanted to get rid of the hair, electrolysis could be done. We can't really use the laser hair removal technique on it because it is already pigmented and it works on a pigment basis. So I think if it bugs you enough, you probably would have it cut out, and you should have a nice, thin scar that would heal up well.
Excellent.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Sure.
Yeah, thanks, Lana. And Brian in Madison, your turn. Hi, Brian.
Hello there.
Hi.
I have a family member that has a kind of rare but hereditary disease, the Derriere's. And it affects, my daughter pretty serious, and I'm wondering if there's any recent, work or cures for that.
What is that, by the way, Dr. Niles?
Derriere's is a very unusual problem that I've only seen a few patients with, and it has to do with really having some thick but also oozing, crusty skin, oftentimes in armpits and groin and other places. I think generally, though, we have strong cortisones that can be very helpful, that could be used for a week or two and then lay off for a week or two and use back and forth, that might help suppress it. And then we've also seen progress with vitamin A derivative drugs like Retin A, which is helpful for acne, and the Accutane as another medication orally that might be helpful. So we have a few things that could help. And then maybe the last thing might be a laser treatment to just kill off all that skin and let it repave over has been very helpful too.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
Welcome.
Thanks for calling. Dorothy in Florida. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Larry. Glad to talk to you. We're also from the Presque Isle area. We've talked to you before. And good morning, Doctor.
Hi.
I have a question on, I'd like to get your opinion on this new shingles vaccine. Both my mother and my sister have had several cases of it. Three times, I think, for my sister, and my mother had it numerous times. And I'm kind of interested in whether I should be getting it as a preventative.
The answer is probably yes. I'm not sure what Medicare's coverage is yet, but we know that I just had a patient ask me about it the other day. I gave him the shot. The shot cost me $200.
Yeah.
And it's a single shot, which then boosts your immune system like a booster that you get for any other kind of vaccination, and should make it so that there's very little chance of you getting shingles over the rest of your life. It's recommended for people over 60, which is awfully young these days, isn't it, Larry?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And for people over 60, and it will just boost your immune system because it's probably been 50 years since you've had had shingles. So it would be a very good preventative, and then you don't have to go through all the harangue and pain and medicine that you need to take if you do get the shingles.
Yeah. Right, and I think I can answer that question for you. Medicare will pay for the injection, and our supplement insurance will pay for the serum, other than we will have to pay the copay that we would be paying, like, for our brand name prescription drug.
All right.
Sounds great.
Okay, do it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, do it, Dorothy. Have fun in Florida, by the way, while the rest of us are freezing up here.
We are a little cold, aren't we?
Lynn in Montello, it's your turn. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Larry and Dr. Niles.
Hi.
I was wondering what you suggest to your patients who don't want to take any medications that have problems still having acne at like 40 years old but starting to get wrinkles and trying to find a skincare that's not too drying but not too moisturizing too, because it can get either way with me. I'll find things that are just too way too drying or way too moisturizing, or I'll break out more and such. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Acne at age 30 or 40 for women is a very common situation. At least 25 to 30% of women have acne at that age, so it's something that we really do want to take care of. Some simple things that one can do. But let me first slide in something about wrinkles. You said I'm getting wrinkles and you have acne. And
mm-hmm.
There is no evidence that moisturizing prevents wrinkles.
Okay.
So if you look at 50-year-old men and 50-year-old women, women who have used moisturizers for 30 years have nothing to show for it. And it would be wonderful if they did have something to show for it. It would be great if they looked 3 weeks younger even. That would be great, but it doesn't happen. So moisturization doesn't help at all with wrinkles. We get wrinkles because you get old enough to have wrinkles, have the right genes to get wrinkles, smoke cigarettes, and being in the sun. Mm-hmm. But dry skin doesn't cause wrinkles. So we can forget about that problem. And what I would suggest is using a really gentle cleanser, trying to cut down on moisturizer. Certainly no one needs to use moisturizers overnight in summertime when the humidity is high. And then there are some antibiotics that are on the surface that are actually a little bit lubricant that could sort of get you over the hump of using moisturizers that might work out pretty well. So there are lots of techniques to take care of your problem.
Okay. Yeah, because I run having kind of sensitivities to sensitive skin, so I can't use cleansers or any lotions that have fragrances and such, too. So that's where it's kind of hard to find what I need, but
I've had very, very few people have trouble with Cetaphil cleanser,
okay.
Which is a really gentle one. A little dab in your palm and some water, wash your face, rinse it off. But most women are have these skincare programs where they're using a harsh cleanser, then an alcohol solution, and then they back it up by putting on petroleum distillates from Saudi Arabia.
And you don't need to do that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You know, men might be ignorant barbarians, but we don't do any of that stuff.
All right. Thanks, Lynn. Thanks for calling. And in 30 seconds, what do fabric dryer strips have any effect on skin?
There have been a few patients that have had fabric softener and fabric strips potentially have some rash from that. It would be an unusual thing, and I wouldn't think of that first. I'd think of that 15th on my list, but it has happened.
Dr. Niles, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for giving of your time. I really appreciate it.
Great to be with you, Larry.
Thank you so much. Dr. Dick Niles, practicing a dermatologist in Oconomowoc and Watertown. Real pleasure to have him with us, and he'll be back again, I'm sure. I'm sorry we didn't get to everyone, but that's the way it always works. Tomorrow on Garden Talk, renowned garden writer and television host Melinda Myers plants a few gardening ideas to you and to me. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.